From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Later this hour, we'll be talking about the buying and selling of high art and funny cat pictures using NFTs, or non-fungible tokens. We'll try and sort out what that means. But first, last month, a conservationist based in the Quad Cities announced a proposal to turn a bridge into a national park. This is part of Interstate 80 over the Mississippi River. Chad Pragracki is the founder and president of Living Lands and Waters, a group that's removed thousands of tons of trash from the Mississippi and its tributaries. He's been a CNN Hero of the Year and was inducted into Illinois' prestigious Lincoln Academy. Chad Pragracki joins me now. Chad, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's an honor.
So I'm going to just begin with, let's say you find yourself in an elevator with the head of the National Park Service. You have 30 seconds. What is your pitch for the bridge over Interstate 80?
Well, it's basically, it'd be a one-of-a-kind traction, the longest wildlife crossing in the world. And it already has an audience of 42,000 cars a day that are traveling across Interstate 80. And then, so that would be it. And I think just like the St. Louis Arch was only 62 acres, that this, you know, we're not building a bridge. It's already there. You know, they're going to build a new bridge and they're either going to blow this one up or hopefully keep it for something that would be, like I said, one of a kind in the world and a great addition to Illinois and Iowa. And it's really, it celebrates the Mississippi River. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, and we've maybe buried the lead a little bit here because the name of the, or the proposed name is the Bison Bridge State Park, right? And one of the big ideas here is that you would have bison, wild bison, living on and crossing this bridge. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, not really living on it. I mean, there'd be acreage, about 50 acres approximately on each side or more of grazing grounds. And when the conditions are right, they'd be able to actually eat their way over on the westbound lane, which is about close to 40 foot wide. They could eat their way over to Iowa, graze over there and eat their way back. And it sounds crazy. It really does. But honestly, I think that that's exactly the point. Like, it's an outside the box project utilizing something for not only wildlife, but quality of life around the Quad Cities, because the eastbound lane would then connect the entire Quad Cities with a pedestrian bridge, a kind of a one of a kind of forested bridge. And just so you know, I know this sounds crazy, but it's not an idea. It's not a dream. I've been thinking about this sort of project for about 20 years, really kicked it into gear about 5 years ago, and then hired a bunch of experts to help me sort of get this off the ground. So it's not like just a crazy idea. It's more of a plan, and we are working towards putting a national park on the bridge that celebrates the river, the history, and the entire area. So yeah.
No, yeah, and definitely, and I don't mean to sort of imply that you woke up, you know, 2 months ago and hatched this scheme on the back of a napkin.
Oh,
or
no,
something like that.
No, just people in general, like, how do you come up with something like this? And it was, you know, so yeah.
Well, and I wanted to ask about what the inspiration was. So I immediately thought of the High Line. If people aren't familiar with this, this is an old elevated train track in New York City. It's I think a couple miles long. It was decommissioned. It was rusting. I don't know if there were plans to remove it or just plans to let it rust, but it ultimately was turned into a park. And it's this very narrow but beautiful winding park. It's this very strange environment. It's unlike anything I've ever experienced when you're walking down this path in the middle of a city, weaving between buildings. I mean, can you talk? Was that your inspiration? Are there other examples of parks like this?
There's a so it's great. I actually live on a barge most of the year that travels city to city through my river cleanup work. And I've lived, I mean, in all these different cities where these pedestrian bridges once were for cars, now are pedestrian bridges. Louisville, Kentucky, Chattanooga, Cincinnati, as you spoke of, the High Line, I've seen that as well. But then I've also pretty well traveled. I've been out west a ton of times, up to Banff, Canada, where there's a wildlife crossing. There's another one in Utah. But kind of what gave me idea, and this is 20 years ago, I mean, I had this idea, not for the bridge aspect, but for a small herd of bison, because truthfully, there's 42,000 cars traveling on 80, which I grew up right by this bridge, and I would just see the cars not stopping. They're just going right by the Quad Cities. And I think it's such an important place because it's the first impression of Illinois or your last impression of Illinois. And so, you know, I sort of wanted people to stop. And I thought, I referenced some wildlife viewing up on Interstate 70 going out of Denver. I had stopped there probably 6 or 7 times to look at these, a small herd of bison that they have, similar to what Bison Bridge is about. And the parking lot was always packed from cars all over the country to view these bison. I thought, this is what Illinois needs, because overlooking the bridge is one of the coolest rest areas in the whole state, but it's the least utilized. And so, you know, you have the Mississippi River right there, a small herd of bison, I always thought was great. And then from that, then I heard that they were going to build a new bridge and destroy the old one. So I'm like, well, then I was thinking like, wow, this could actually be used as a wildlife crossing, similar to the other ones I've seen, the pedestrian bridge. It serves dual purposes, quality of life, adds to the state and attraction, and hopefully a national park.
So we're talking about is it the Fred Schwengel Memorial Bridge? Is that the formal name?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
I just call it the Interstate 80 Bridge, but
right.
I never knew Fred, but yeah, that's the one.
He was a congressman, I gather. There are 3 interstate bridges. I just want to give people sort of a visualization there. As I understand it, 3 interstate bridges over the Mississippi in the Quad Cities. This is the easternmost one for I-80. It's I was reading on Wikipedia, so if it's to be believed, 66 feet wide, about 2/3 of a mile long. I wondered what makes you think, have you talked to experts about bison? How would they interact with the bridge? Would these be happy bison? It doesn't necessarily seem like a natural, you know, existence for them.
I like that you said happy bison. So I'm not a bison expert. I'm just an enthusiast. You know, I've always thought they're an amazing animal. There's 20 some million estimated to be roaming North America. They certainly were in Illinois, they were in Iowa, they were once here, and so you know, it's not like a giraffe or an elephant, something that's not here. I mean, this is like celebrating their history to the landscape and so much. But so I'm not an expert, so I had somebody on our staff research top 5 bison experts, came to the University of Montana. Then through that, I found this guy that did something similar to what I'm doing, not with a bridge, but a smaller piece of land. He released, I think, 7 or 8 bison. There's some videos about him. His name's Jason. And he released them on the Wind River reservation out there. And he's my first bison expert. And then since then, I have somebody that ran a small herd that for the national park down in Oklahoma that's joined, and also the local zoo there is helping me write up a solid plan. So the well-being of the animals is really, I didn't know what questions would be asked, but that's one of the main questions, is how will the bison handle this? And so here's what the experts have all said. If you get the bison when they're young, they'll just grow up in that environment and they're like, they'd be fine with it there. So, and just a note too, it's not like they'd be walking on concrete. I can put 16 inches of dirt structurally, is what I've been told by an engineering firm, 16 inches of dirt on most of the bridge, except for the center span, which is the longest span there. I could put 9 inches of dirt across that. And so but it would just look like it's land all the way. And it's, you know, so it wouldn't be that out of, I guess, character or out of line. It would just kind of look like natural grazing ground to them, is what I've been told.
Sure. All right. So let me take a moment to reintroduce you. We're speaking with Chad Pragracki. He's the founder and president of Living Lands and Waters, and his latest project is the Bison Bridge Foundation. It's a proposal to turn a soon-to-be decommissioned, possibly destroyed bridge over Interstate 80 to, instead of destroying it, it's set to be replaced, I should say, to turn it into a national park, half given over to people, pedestrians, able to cross and walk, and the other half, as well as land on either side of the bridge, given over to bison. If you want to join our conversation, the number is 800-222-9455. If you have comments or questions about this proposal, would you like to see a new national park in Illinois in the Quad Cities? Again, the number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. I also want to read a few texts we got. We asked some of our listeners about this. Denise in Decatur wrote to say, I would be in favor of a new national park in the Quad Cities. Overpopulation has pushed animals out of their habitats and the plants some rely on. We have empty, abandoned buildings throughout the United States, yet we build more. They paved paradise and put a parking lot. We also heard from somebody going by T who said, yes, 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 the Quad Cities need something like this. Our old river cities are such a wonderful historical heritage that we mostly neglect. I think it's a brilliant idea. It would rejuvenate that area, which is so culturally rich and has so much potential. And then we also heard from Marlene in Urbana, who wrote, I would support that park wholeheartedly. What are the requirements to be a national park? So, Chad, how about that? What sort of this is a long process. This is not something where you expect an answer within a few months or a years, even possibly.
Yeah, nothing moves too fast. But just on that note, from, you know, I will get to that answer, but I hired the person in charge of District 2, which was 19 counties in Illinois. He was in charge of the 74 bridge that's cross currently being built in the Quad Cities, a billion-dollar bridge. And also he was in charge of getting this going for Interstate 80 as well. He retired and I hired him 2 weeks later. So he's been on the team for about 2 years. And so he's saying that for this to actually happen, timing wise is perfect. We're just right in the right time slot. If you want a visual, go to bisonbridge.org. Again, that's bisonbridge.org. And if you like it, please sign up. We have basically 1,000 people a day over the last 30 days have signed up, but we need 50,000 signatures to help not only make this or tell IDOT that this is a great project for the state, but also it will help with our national park to be able to make that happen. So I'm referencing, and it is quite a process, and I'm getting some help on that of how to go through that. And Sherry Bustos, the local congresswoman here, has been super supportive and is getting me and our team all the meetings set up in DC. So we will be going there and working through that. But I look at what the arch is. Now the arch, so right now you have a bridge that's going to be either blown up, and we're going to spend either as taxpayers $30 to $40 million to not only remove the bridge, but then to add a new bike lane onto the new bridge. So it's like, not only will we lose an opportunity, we have to pay $30 to $40 million to lose it. So my point is back to the national park. When I look at the arch is actually a national monument, which I would want this to be with the Bison Bridge and celebrating the Mississippi River. But it's run by the National Park Service. So they just revamped it in the last 5 years, a private partnership, just what I'm talking about. They spent $367 million privately. They raised it to be able to build a new museum and revamp the grounds. So I'm not saying it's anywhere near what that is, but it's a perfect example that that can happen. So I asked the question, can somebody come up with an idea and make it into a national monument or national park? The answer is yes. And the last person that did it has been done twice, once in the 60s and once most recently in 2017 by the owner of Burt's Bees, the skin products. And she did it in Maine. So I thought, okay, it's been done. So it can be done here. So I am working through that process. I don't have all the answers, but I feel like there's enough people that are saying it's a great idea. And I have enough sort of political will to hopefully make this a reality.
Sure. And I do want to say we need to take a break in about a minute here, but you kind of hinted at this. We also got some texts from Sal and Champaign and Steve who asked, you know, who's paying for it. And so it sounds like what you're saying is some sort of public-private partnership is what you're envisioning.
It wouldn't be a public. We're not asking for any public money, not only to build it, but to maintain it. So I can go into that more after your break if we need to take that.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Well, let's do that. Let me remind listeners that our number is 800-222-9455. We have a caller already on the line from Dixon. Ryan, hang on. We will get to you. We do need to take a break for our stations. But again, if you want to join our conversation, 800-222-9455 is the number. We're speaking with Chad Pragracki, who is the founder and president of Living Lands and Waters. His latest project is the Bison Bridge Foundation, which is proposing to turn a bridge, part of Interstate 80 over the Mississippi River near the Quad Cities, turn it into a national park. It would be for bison on half of it, for people on the other half. We're going to continue this conversation after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. More to come. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. Whether you're just starting out or upgrading to your dream home, Busey can guide you every step of the way, because they know there's no place like home. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.
This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We are speaking with Chad Pragracki, the founder and president of Living Lands and Waters. And he's also, his more recent project is the Bison Bridge Foundation. This is a proposal to turn an Interstate 80 bridge near the Quad Cities. It's set to be replaced instead of blowing it up, destroying it, removing it. He wants it turned into a national park. And we are taking calls at 800-222-9455. And I want to go now to Ryan, is on line four from Dixon. Ryan, thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So what is your, do you have a comment or question on the park?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say that this Bison Bridge idea is the sort of creative idea that's going to, I think, play a large role in rejuvenating the Midwest, especially some of the towns in downstate Illinois. Some of them have been hit hard in the past 40 years, and this is the sort of creative solution that I think is going to usher in a new future for us. But yeah, I have a question about the project.
Sure, go ahead.
So are there precedents for this type of infrastructure being repurposed to carry sod and plants and animals over time as opposed to automobiles? Because I can imagine the loads might be different. They might change over time, you know, as the bison eat the grass and digest the grass.
Yeah,
maybe the load will increase over time. So, have you thought of that? And take my answer.
All right, thanks for the call, Ryan. Yeah, Chad, go ahead.
Thanks, thanks so much. Yeah, for the call there and questions, comments. So I am. I mean, I've worked with a couple engineering firms that just roughly have said, yeah, you could put sod on this, and I look at like, what Louisville did with their train bridge that was built in the 1880s, the structure of this bridge, from what I'm told from the engineer on staff and then from the others, it's, the structure is still a great structure. And what hurts bridges is salt, but it's also vibration. And once you take the vibration of the semis just pounding it with full load, then cars, that bridge would last a very long time. So, you know, I'm not an engineer myself. I have an idea and formulate it into a plan. And certainly all of those things would be vetted out as we go down the road. But it's been thought of. We've talked about it, but I haven't hired an engineering firm to go through it exactly. But, you know, it's just at a concept phase right now. But as far as what the experts told me, it's doable.
Yeah, and earlier you mentioned the depth of dirt you might be able to put on one of the lanes,
yeah,
varying across the span, depending on how wide the spans are between the support pillars. Yeah.
I just wanted to say the other comment I thought was really important from him about, you know, these different cities taking, you know, its toll and negative people leaving. And, you know, I know the show's the 21st and the 21st state is Illinois, but Illinois are number one for people leaving. And that's a sad reality. And they're moving to all these other places, you know, and for instance, like, you know, since 1960, as far as population on that note, the Midwest is not even kept up with the U.S. population growth. It's actually declined, and we've only grown by 30-35%. Whereas you look at the South and the growth rate there, and you're looking at they're at 126% growth. So, you know, anything like this that can, like he said, can help rejuvenate, put us back on the map, have a positive, this is your first impression of the state. I believe this project is forward thinking. It's outside the box. It's see it to believe it. And will it work? From what the experts tell me, it will work. And you know, the A goal is, the A plan is a national park. The B goal is two state parks meet in the middle in Iowa and Illinois. And the third is Bison Bridge would not only build it, but also maintain it. And so when I'm out fundraising, just to jump back to that, like, you know, I've been fundraising for 24 years to run a pretty successful organization. I've vetted this project behind the scenes to donors that I would think it's cool, I think. And I can tell you what, even my board of directors, everybody has said money is not going to be an issue because it's that cool. And it's not only for Illinois, it's not just for Iowa, it's for the country. And so I know for a fact that this would be successful and be able to raise the money, not only to build it, to maintain it though. So, yeah.
How crucial are bison to your vision? I've got to admit, the thought crossed my mind that maybe, you know, this is a great sticky concept. It's certainly fires the imagination. This idea of bison going a bridge captures public attention. But, you know, if ultimately you end up with a Midwestern highline without bison, is that a possibility? Where do you see that in your vision?
You know, what's funny is somebody asked me that yesterday, and I was kind of like, wow, I never even thought about it. This has been my vision the entire time, as far as, you know, I started with just one of the small herd, and then I heard the bridge was going to be demolished and a new bridge, so it built from there. But bison have always been in the picture, and so I would say it would just be another bridge if it didn't have the wildlife. And truthfully, if you look at pictures at bisonbridge.org, the bridge is very wide, and it would kind of just be this void, wasted space. I think the bison have to come along with it to get people to stop. And really, the real focus here is not the bison. It's truthfully the Mississippi River and what it does for the country of transportation and a natural resource. And so that's really what's celebrated the most. The bison is just sort of celebrating the history of wildlife and all that as well. So I think bison have to be a part of it. I just, in my mind, they do. They need to be. So kind of
yeah,
cool.
Absolutely. I think we can get one more call in here. Alita is on the line from Normal. Alita, thanks for calling in.
Hi, I'm so glad I tuned in. This is a fabulous idea. I'm really excited about it. I'm a fan of the concept of wildlife corridors and rewilding. And so I just wanted to see if this, I think that question, my question was answered by connecting the two states' parks already. So that was going to be my question, is can we turn this into a wildlife corridor? Can we expand it? Is there potential for doing that? And how can we we just need to get this idea out in the public. And also the fact that having the dirt tilled up by the hooves of the animals, that's a really beneficial thing. And so I just wanted to throw that out there and see what more light be shed on that for this project.
Yeah. All right, Alita, thank you so much for the call. And Chad, how about that? I mean, I got intrigued by wildlife corridors. I recently read the excellent book. We interviewed the author, Kim Stanley Robinson. The book is Ministry for the Future. It's, it sort of imagines the near future of climate in our world. Wildlife corridors play a big role in that. But I'm imagining this is going to have sort of fences around all sides, right? It's not going to be a true natural, any animal can get in.
Correct. But there is a lot of land on both Iowa and Illinois. I mean, my vision, honestly, just in the last 30 days, because of callers, the light, like your show, your questions, and then the last two callers calling you with this and that, is, you know, I've gained a, I mean, now we have a, we're, our team is a lot bigger, like soil experts have come on. She talked about the hooves digging in, but the wildlife corridor is definitely part of it. There's land to expand from that. But what I didn't realize till I talked to the local person who runs the zoo here, he's like, you know, wildlife beyond bison is going to live in there, whether you like it or not. Like, they'll just adapt it into their home. You know, 100 plus acres is of grasslands, like foxes, rabbits. He said even deer, if they feel safe, they'll just stay in there. I never thought of that. So in some ways it would be just a natural corridor, but it would be fenced off. There is more land to possibly add to it, but right now it's just, you know, right at about 100 acres. So again, there's a lot of details in the weeds, but just hearing how many thousands and seeing, you know, like 1,000 people a day have signed up at bisonbridge.org. And right now that's what we need, just more signatures and people saying, hey, this is great, and so many reasons. And so if nothing else, just go there to bisonbridge.org and check it out so you can see kind of what the vision is. And I just want to say this, the vision that's on there is not what the vision is going to turn out to be. That's just sort of what myself and the team put together as the potential. We're looking for as many people with great ideas, and they don't all have to be positive, because we have negative. Somebody said something negative, and that's like, yeah, we got to solve that problem. And that's how this whole thing will evolve. But I would never waste anybody's time, and I don't have a lot of time to be wasted. I'm a really busy person. So if I didn't think that this was doable and it had been vetted by enough people saying, absolutely, we want to participate in this, I wouldn't do that. So I, in my mind, this thing will happen with, especially with the amount of support that's been gained in the last 30 days since I kicked it off.
Chad Pragracki is the founder and president of Living Lands and Waters and the Bison Bridge Foundation. We'll have a link to that. You can also see a video sort of conceptually previewing what this might look like at our website, 21stshow.org. Chad, thanks for taking the time to be with us today on the 21st.
Hey, thanks. Thanks so much, and congratulations on the show. It's great, and I really appreciate what you do as a journalist and your whole team behind the scenes. Thank them as well. So thanks again.
All right. Thanks, Chad.